This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us today on Target. I am your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we're here every week to talk about subjects that we think are important and interesting for all of us who live in the Western New York community, and to talk to people who are making a difference in our lives every day here in Western New York. And that is actually what we are going to be discussing today, because this familiar sound is something that we are used to hearing around this time of year. And I'm sure that now that you've heard it, it's Santa Claus is coming, the Red Kettle is here, and the Salvation Army is here. And we are going to be talking today, appropriately, because it is certainly that time of year when we think about the Red Kettle and the Salvation Army. And also, am I the only one that thinks about guys and dolls? Yeah. Because every time I see them or I hear, I always on the street, or you hear the bell, or I always think of Follow the Fold, and when they're walking down the street with Sky. And I don't know if you have never seen Guys and Dolls, to my listeners, the movie or the show or whatever, it is really about the Salvation Army. I mean, it is about what they do and about how they change people's lives for the better. Because Sky was a gambler, and all of his friends were no good. And then they met Sarah and her group from the Salvation Army, and they all turned their life around, right? So it may be just fake, and it may be just a play or a movie, but I know in real life that when you hear about the good work that the Salvation Army does, you're going to realize that this is based on reality. It was based on reality. In the studio with us today is Major Stephen Lopes. And Major Lopes is the coordinator for the Western Region, which he's going to tell us about in a second. And also with us is Danielle Burns. And Danielle is the donor relations person for the Salvation Army. Got that right?
You did.
Thank you both for joining us. Major, you started to tell me, but I thought maybe I'd let our listeners know, what do we mean by the Western Region?
The Salvation,
what does it cover?
Well, my wife and I together serve the Salvation Army units in areas of service in our Western Region, from Lockport to Niagara Falls down to the city of Buffalo, to Dunkirk and Jamestown and Olean and Wellsville. So in this part of the state, the Salvation Army has 10 brick-and-mortar facilities, and we provide services in all of the zip codes in this Western Region. And my wife and I have a great team of Salvation Army officers and employees and volunteers who, in the name of the Salvation Army, respond to needs in our communities in the western part of the state. And so we're honored and privileged to provide leadership and support to all of the units in this part of the state.
Now, I was privileged to be at the Salvation Army 2018 Red Kettle Luncheon. And at this luncheon, I learned so much that I did not know about the Salvation Army, which, I mean, maybe all of my listeners do know, but on the other hand, it certainly would be advantageous to fill them in about the services, because I think besides the Red Kettle, which we'll talk about in a minute, there are so many different services offered by the Salvation Army to the members of the community that we should kind of like discuss them all and try to let people be aware of them. So what are they that you want to bring to our attention?
If I could just provide some context to it, to our listening on it, and I speak from my own experience. I was raised here in the United States in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, and As a good Catholic growing up, I was told to support the Salvation Army. When you saw the bell ringers at the holidays, my mom said a good Catholic would put some change or a dollar bill in that kettle. And so that's how I was raised. But I didn't know anything more than that. I knew the Red Shield. I knew the Salvation Army was there to help people in need. And during national disasters or times of war, the Army has been there to serve servicemen and responders, but I get that I didn't know much else. I knew they were out ringing the bells at the holidays, and they helped those in need in our community. And the opportunity came for me to learn more about the Salvation Army. What was behind those red bells? And I found out that it was started by a Methodist minister in London, England, back in 1865. And I said, boy, I never knew that the Salvation Army was started by a young Methodist minister who felt that in his understanding of his Christian faith, that he had a real draw to social issues and social causes. And he was involved in civil rights issues, if I could use that term, that was plaguing London during the mid-19th century, during an industrial revolution that was taking place. So he helped to form laws, labor laws, and rights for women and children who were being forced. And this was upsetting his church, the parishioners of his congregation. And eventually they told this young Reverend Booth, Reverend, you need to leave that to those, that your role as a pastor, as a minister, is to serve in the church and to serve a traditional role. Well, young Reverend Booth didn't agree with that, nor his wife, Catherine. And so they left the Methodist connection. And next thing history tells us is that there was a Christian mission society of men and women who understood that there was a God and a God who cared for humanity. And they were of many different denominations of that time in England. And they were looking for a leader, someone who was young and charismatic, who could be the face of this movement. It was about 100 years earlier than in the United States, the Civil Rights Movement, when they called out a young pastor named Martin Luther King Jr. to be the face of their cause. Well, that was taking place in London 100 years earlier, in the early 1860s. Well, this group of volunteers, this mission society who was trying to get involved in civil issues, met with young Reverend Booth and said, young Reverend Booth, we have a place for you. We know you've left the Methodist connection. And we'd like to know if you'd be the leader of this Christian mission society who's fighting ills in society and fighting poverty and alcoholism and things that were causing blemishes and stains and people who didn't have a voice. And young Booth eventually agreed to be the leader. And that started the Salvation Army. In 1865, the work of the Salvation Army began in London. And over the last 153 or so years, the army has grown. We're in 130 countries now. And that bell is a sign to, we call it a clarion call, that there are people in our community that still need the help of the larger community. You know, it is said that it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a village to meet the needs of that child as well. And that bell for over 100 years has been meeting needs. And in Buffalo, we have a variety of services that the Salvation Army commences. Everyone knows about our emergency disaster services when there's a 9/11 experience. In Buffalo, we have emergency disaster vehicles that when first responders need the support of the Salvation Army, for the firemen, those who are working, whether it's fires in a home, whether it's a tragic accidents due to, the Army is there serving those who are responding, ministering to their needs as they minister and deal with the situation before them. And it's a ministry the Salvation Army has been a part of across the world. You know, I met a couple of World War II veterans this past week here in Buffalo. And they were telling me stories how the Salvation Army was there at the front lines, who was there when they were on the shores getting ready to leave, offering them a cup of coffee and a donut and a simple prayer that God would protect them and their family. So the Army here in Buffalo is still involved in that type of a service, responding to those needs when there are fires or where people are being displaced for some reason. How do we come alongside and not only support the first responders, but those who have been impacted?
I just want to interrupt for a moment in case you just tuned in. You're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we are learning today together, really, about the history and the mission of the Salvation Army. And I think you're going to be as interested as I am to learn about the different services that they perform, which we are not aware of. In the studio with us is The Western Region Coordinator for the Salvation Army, Major Stephen Lopes, and also Danielle Burns. By the way, I had your card right in front of me, Danielle, when I kept asking. And she's the Donor Relations Director for the Western New York Region. But I think that, Danielle, you must be happy to have the Major carry the burden here, because he's so enthusiastic and so engrossed in the mission and the services, and he does such a good job explaining it. So I don't want to interrupt him.
No,
okay,
definitely.
So I know I want you to see if you could continue, Major, because you mentioned, I didn't even remember that they are, you know, involved with the emergency services, and I know you're going to get into some of the other services, some of the other programs which have to do with, for example, young people.
Yes, we have youth services in the greater Buffalo area. Each year, over 300 children are involved in our programs across the city of Buffalo. We have three locations. We have a location on Main Street in the medical corridor. We have a location on the west side and on the east side of Buffalo. And children come to the Salvation Army for services ranging from a stomach that's growling, a nutritious meal, and the Army provides meals for our children. And they're looking for academic tutoring, for phys ed opportunities, you know, physical activities. We have character building programs. We have Big Brother mentoring programs here in the greater Buffalo area for our youth. And we have a drop-in center on Main Street. 6,200 kids come to us to be engaged not only in academic training, in something to eat, but in other activities, whether it's sports-related or in the arts, music or creative arts. And it's exciting. And a lot of these youth are doing positive things in our community. The other day, we had a Thanksgiving community meal for residents in Buffalo. About 200 people were there. And I was talking to a senior and a junior, two students who have been volunteering for 4 years. And I sat with them and I said, Mom, make you come here today? Oh, no, we came of our own free will. I said, come on, do you got community service hours you have to do? What brought you here? And they said, because they want to show their contemporaries that, you know, although the media wants to portray our youth in a certain way, and what grabs the attention is when the youth are making bad choices. There are a lot of youth in our city who are making good choices. And the other day, you know, I was witness to over a dozen youth who were in our facility serving those who came in on Thanksgiving Day. They were there for hours serving those who came in looking for a hot meal, looking to be within a community on Thanksgiving Day. And these are youth who come to our program. So I know Buffalo knows it, but we have a lot of fine youth in our city, and a lot of them, we're thankful, are engaged in Salvation Army programs and services throughout the city.
But people tend to forget, and they concentrate, as you just pointed out, and as your young people pointed out, they concentrate on the bad apples or the bad people in the bunch, or the kids who are, like, not going to school and not working and not helping others. And it's so good to know that there's other ones, too.
Right. They don't get the press.
Right, exactly.
That the other youth get who are mm-hmm. making wrong choices. Mm-hmm. But it's really enriching to see how our youth services, you know, are part of that process of a youth, you know, finding out who they are and helping them develop the tools to make good choices as they grow.
Okay. And after, besides the young people's program and the youth program, I was learning something about a summer camp. Not only at the holiday time do we think of the Salvation Army, but all year round their activities are important.
Yes. We have, here in Buffalo, we have summer day camp programs at our three sites. Again, we have over 300 kids enrolled in them. And then we have overnight camping. The Salvation Army in our region has a beautiful camp located just outside of Geneva, and we send over 100 children to a week of camp at our camp location just south of Geneva, right on the lake, and it's a beautiful location. But our children in the Army, folks think of us at the holidays, but the Army, it's 365 days where the Army is seeking to meet the needs and to be a part of solutions in our community.
The army we're talking about, folks, is the Salvation Army, not the Army of the Services, which is just as important, equally important, but it's just not what we're referring to. I guess, you know, we're just not used to hearing it talked about that way. I also learned, which I thought was very, very important for people to know, that there is rehab centers involved, that there is adult training and rehab centers involved as well as focusing on the young people.
Yes. The Salvation Army is one of the oldest institutions that work in rehabilitation. Again, it was a part of the founder, young Reverend Booth. In London, England, there was a real challenge with alcoholism during the 19th century in London. And Booth wanted to how can I address that need? So he began what we know now as residential treatment programs for men who were struggling with addiction. Years ago, it was mainly alcohol that the Army worked with, but as generations proceeded, and other drugs and addictions became. So the Army, throughout the United States and here in our Western region, we have residential treatment programs that work with men and with women who are looking to find victory over the addiction. They work therapy treatment programs. They're very difficult. It's not an easy program. They're 6 months to a year. Although there's no cost to the beneficiary, whether they have insurance or not, it doesn't matter. But you got to be committed to your recovery. It's not for someone who's just looking to get out of the cold for a few weeks. It's a highly intensive training of therapy and the work therapy component, working on those disciplines so that when you graduate, hopefully you have the tools or you have regained those tools needed for successful long-term employment.
And that's very related also, when you mention the word employment, related to another mission which you have, which also I think is important to the community but kind of overlooked, and that has to do with job training.
Yes, we have employment service department at our Main Street location, as well as branches in the West and Eastern locations where we work with men and women who come to us. We have GED classes. We have a certified health environmental service technician program. And I'm proud to say that the Army is the only one running this certification program in partnership with the Medical Corridor, where men and women receive the training necessary to receive employment in that area of service technicians in the hospital environment. We have culinary arts training programs. We have resume writing, computer skills training. I was recently told in preparation for this meeting that this year we've had, of our graduates, 92 have full-time employment jobs. And so we're excited about that.
And that is very, very exciting. Now, how would somebody qualify? I mean, where do you find the applicants, or how would the applicants find you that are qualified to, for example, for a training in culinary arts or in whatever other training you mentioned?
We have a myriad of programs that work with people in need, and often through those other services where it's our Emergency Family Assistance Bureau, where men and women, families come up to us for basic needs of food, shelter, and clothing. And through that process, we identify other needs, deficiencies the families have. So through our other services or wraparound services, a lot of students or identification is found with those folks. And then this, you know, the Salvation Army partners with a lot of great agencies here in Buffalo. And so a part of that collaboration is sharing what we're doing, services we offer, and partners like the Salvation Army, Catholic Charities, and other fine community agencies. We work together. We talk with each other. Through that, there are referrals from other agencies to our program.
Which is really important, because people may be thinking, how many different organizations are doing the same services? How many are giving job training? How many are having food? How many are having emergency shelters? But it's good to know that everyone that's providing these services is cooperating or coordinating in some way, so it's not redundant or it's not repetitive, right?
Correct. Yeah, We have a great line of communication with our partnering agencies. That often is the term we use, where we collaborate and talk together to make best use of the resources that our community affords us.
Now, obviously, and this is where you're going to get finally to say something, the services cost, all of these services cost money, and I don't think that all the money that we drop in the kettle, hopefully that we all do drop in the kettle during the holidays, is enough to sustain all of these services, is it?
No, unfortunately it's not. And while the Red Kettle is a really large part, obviously, of our fundraising efforts in order to sustain these programs throughout the year, not just at the holiday time, we also do need folks to really step up and say they want to help those in their community and support these programs. And we have a lot of really wonderful, generous supporters, volunteers that come forward and decide to do that. Folks can do that through online gifts at buffalo.salvationarmy.org. They can call and make a gift. They can call and say, I want to volunteer. I want to come and see, you know, what's happening with
what
these
could volunteers
programs.
Do?
We have volunteers that immediately right now, we of course need bell ringers, folks to stand at those kettles.
Can you do that again before the program's over? In case you missed the bell at the beginning of On Target, we're gonna do it again for you before the program's over. So
yes.
You hear that?
Yes. Bell ringers are always needed during the holidays. We have many, many volunteers who come and do two-hour shifts. And, you know, some people get really into it. We have a volunteer who actually brings his cowboy hat and plays music. I'm sure that some of you will see him around the area at our local malls. So if anybody's interested in bell ringing, we still have many spots open from now all the way through till Christmas. You can contact our volunteer coordinator, Brianna Witt. Her phone number is 888-6220. Brianna also coordinates volunteer opportunities with our Golden Age Center. So with our seniors, they do bingo, always need people to run classes or special crafts. We have a beautiful garden.
Major, I don't think we talked about the seniors.
There's a few things we still haven't.
There's lots of programs.
What do we do for senior citizens?
The Salvation Army in Buffalo has the longest running and the first senior citizen center. I found that out when I moved to this great city back in July. My accent is not from Buffalo, unfortunately.
We know, but we were trying to be tactful and we didn't mention it or bring it up.
But when I arrived here in July, I learned right away that our Golden Age Center, which provides services to our senior community, is the longest running senior center here in the city of Buffalo. And they do everything from providing speakers that speak on topics relating to our senior community. It's 5 days a week. They come and get a nutritious meal, a chance to gather together with like minds for fellowship and social interaction. We have social outings. There are arts and crafts. They also provide advice to myself often when I'm going in there saying hello. They want to tell me what they think and what I should do, and I always love sitting with them. The other day, when we were having our Thanksgiving meal, a World War II veteran, 93 years old, was one of the guests at our meal, and getting to sit next to him, his son was volunteering there and his grandchildren. And dad, this World War II veteran, he's been part of the Golden Age Center for 35 years. And I sat next to him. I had to make some time to listen to him just talk about his love for the city, his love for our country, and his years of service during World War II. And he thanked me for the 5 or 10 minutes when I was sitting next to him. But for me, they are such jewels. And it's so rewarding to sit with our seniors. They have such history, so much richness in what they have to offer. So the Salvation Army, like other fine agencies throughout our city, we have a long-standing history. We have over 500 members who are part of our Golden Age Center, and it's one of the bright spots if you come down to our Main Street location.
You have to go from one extreme to the other. I'm laughing because we started talking about like daycare and young people in summer camp, and we ended up talking about senior citizens. So you really run the gamut of everybody in the community, no matter what age, that there are some services available if they need them, mm-hmm. right?
And as Danielle was saying, mm-hmm. you know, support is critical. You know, nothing right. is free this day, and we need volunteers at this time of year. But when the holiday season is over, we still need volunteers throughout the year.
Because people do associate, as I said at the top of the program, we really associate with the Red Kettle program. The reason, speaking of volunteers and generous people, I became aware of and actually went to the luncheon because it was being presented by my very good friends and your really generous sponsors, John and Carolyn Juchek. And yes. I don't know what we would do without them in the community, but especially for the Red Cross. So get them to listen. Tell John we're talking about him after you leave, and he should listen to On Target this weekend.
Yes, I did. I told Carolyn, I said, we're going to be on Judge's show, so sure that.
Good. And well, now tell them that we talk, because they are just so, so marvelously important and have such an impact on so many different charities here in Western New York. We really can't thank them enough. I just wanted to ask you at the last to tell people not only can they volunteer at the ringing the bell, mm-hmm. but you mentioned that there's like people helping at the senior citizen centers, at the young where the young people are being served. You certainly need people on the training aspect. When you said they're training for, you know, culinary arts or this or that, I think a lot of them are volunteers that are helping train other people.
Yes, in pretty much every aspect, whether we're talking about youth services or employment training, or we have another program, it's supervised visitation services. The Salvation Army, in working with the county.
That's right, I'm very aware of that.
It's a place where the Army tries to help with the reunification of parents with their children who have been, you know, taken away from them. And the Army has a rich history of trying to bring families back together. So the supervised visitation program is done at our 960 location, as well as off-site opportunities to help parents build that relationship with their child, and hopefully will end up, getting reunified and getting their child back. It's another critical program.
And not only is that a valuable service, but it is pretty unique. There's not another place where the courts can turn to an independent people such as the Salvation Army, as you said, to help bring families back together, like for supervised visitation and things like that. We only have a second, so Danielle, one mm-hmm. more time, where people can contact you for any of the services or to volunteer or to be sponsors or anything else you need.
Yes, we have so many sponsorship opportunities, ways to give, whether it be through volunteer or monetarily. You can visit us at buffalo.salvationarmy.org. You can also contact myself, Danielle Burns, at 716-888-6208. And 82 cents of every dollar donated goes towards the mission. So I always like to make sure that people know that and the money stays local.
Thank you so much. And we wish you a happy holiday and very successful Red Kettle Drive. And thanks for listening to On Target. Have a good week. We'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.